Hello, Northeast Nebraska, and welcome to this newest episode of the Shepherd's Voice podcast with my my usual guest. I think he has fun on this. The Most Reverend George J. Lucas, Archbishop of Omaha. How are you today, Archbishop?
I'm doing fine, Jimmy. How about you?
Well, it's supposed to be a rainy week. I mean, it looks fine right now.
What we can count on is by the time people listen to this, it'll be different.
Yeah, exactly.
Changes day by day.
Exactly. So yes, this episode will be about the ordination coming up on June 4th, I believe. So we have two seminarians who are transitional deacons, of course, that will be ordained as priests of the Archdiocese of Omaha. And this is the first part of three for this episode. So it'll be part one will be me and the Archbishop. Part two will be myself, Deacon Jamrog, and Deacon Tran. Did I say that correctly?
Tran.
And then part three will be myself and Father Lloyd Gunnerk. So stay tuned for part two and three. But like I said, this is part one. So just to go right into it, Archbishop, tell me of the importance of priestly vocations.
This time of the year, we think about the importance of priestly vocations because, God willing, we have ordinations, which we do this year. We're grateful for the two men who are presented for ordination to the priesthood. We know that as the Lord has established the church to bring the light of the gospel in every age and in every mm-hmm. place, he has planned that there be a sacramental priesthood, an ordained priesthood, men who he himself calls and who the church forms, and the church recognizes that call. And then when the men are ordained, we really talk about them being configured to Jesus Christ. They become living sacraments of Jesus. So they preach and provide the sacramental life of the church to our people and good pastoral care, so that the life of the risen Christ is experienced by people in our time and for the future.
When was the last priest ordination? Was it
2 years ago?
2 years ago. And
so we're ready for some more.
Right, we're ready for some more.
Definitely. Plenty of good work to do.
Yes, definitely. Tell me your thoughts on this year's ordination. How does it, you know, I'm not saying that there's pros and cons because there's not, you know, priests are priests.
It's all pros. It's great news. So, I'm grateful to the people of our archdiocese who are so supportive of vocations in our young people, encouraging mm-hmm. them, praying for them. Grateful for the two men who I'll have the privilege of ordaining because they're giving themselves to it completely in response to the invitation of the Lord. So it's a really joyful time for our archdiocese. It's one of the happiest things that I get to do as the Archbishop to ordain new priests for a number of reasons. I love my own vocation, and mm-hmm. I'll be ordained to the priesthood 47 years this spring. So there are a lot of memories that are rolled up into this for me as I ordain these two young men. I also, though, I get the chance to reflect prayerfully. I've been doing it already, thinking about all of the ways that they will be able to have a good and a powerful effect on people throughout their ministry. So I'm thinking long after I'm gone, they'll still be, by God's grace, configured to Jesus in the priesthood and celebrating the sacraments, preaching the gospel, and really caring for God's people as Jesus himself would.
Amen. What kind of words of wisdom and what kind of words of wisdom can you give to Deacon Jamrog and Deacon Tran?
I'll share some words of wisdom with them at their ordination, I'm sure, but I haven't thought of my homily completely yet.
Here's a start now.
But one of the things that I remember after my own ordination, and I do share this mm-hmm. with new priests, that there's going to be a beautiful surprise as you begin your parish assignment and continue it over the next several years as a new priest, a surprising way that God's people will help you understand what the church needs from her priests. We don't just redefine the priesthood, and it can't be anything we want. But our faithful people have just an innate understanding that I think is from the Holy Spirit about what they desire their life in the church to be, and what they hope to receive from their priests. We can't be everything to everybody at every moment. That's not the point. But there's a lot of formation that goes on in the years that a man spends in the seminary, right. And so we believe that both of these men who will be ordained are ready to go. They're well trained and mm-hmm. and well prepared, very good spiritual men, and educated in all the right ways. They've had good pastoral experience, but there's nothing like actually carrying out priestly ministry and doing it in the context of a parish. So they're sent on a mission to a particular parish. They're not just priests in a general sense, we might say, or priests mm-hmm. at large, but they really will be attached to a parish and to a pastor who they will assist. And those people will help with the ongoing formation. And I just encourage them to think that that's really going to be enjoyable and filled with many graces. I think any of us, if we have sense, we approach the beginning of a new way of life with some trepidation, wondering if we're going to be good at it and if we'll do things right. And I'm confident in these two men. But the Lord and the church have some surprises for us always, and they're good surprises. And certainly for any of us, we can't really begin something till we begin it, and we can't get experience until we get it. And they'll both know a lot more about the daily experience of being a priest a year from now than they know now.
Right. What excites you for our future seminarians?
Yeah. So thanks be to God, we have a good number of men who have applied for the seminary mm-hmm. for the coming year. It's obvious to everyone, I suppose, that we can't have men be ordained to the priesthood if they don't come to the seminary in the first place.
Right.
So we've been working hard at this, and again, I'm grateful to our priests and people who I think are more and more on the lookout for young men in their parishes or in their families who exhibit qualities that we would like to see in a priest. They're encouraging mm-hmm. them to think about whether the Lord might be calling them, and we have a number who are responding, and others who are in the process of discerning that, maybe are not ready to apply for the seminary, but are considering it. I really think that every young Catholic man should think about the possibility that he might be called to the priesthood. Not everyone is, of course, but we don't want to miss anybody, and mm-hmm. and we. No, the Lord calls those who he himself desires to share in his priesthood. He makes some surprising choices from time to time. So I think, as I say, it's good for every good Catholic man to think about it and pray about it. Ask the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Spend time in prayer. Spend time at Mass before the Blessed Sacrament. If we put ourselves close to the Lord, then he'll share his plan with us.
Definitely. Anything else you'd like to add before we...
Yeah, I encourage the people who are listening, all of our people, to pray for these two men who will be ordained to the priesthood. Pray that they'll be open to God's grace and be instruments of the Lord himself in many ways, in ways that will be joyful and fruitful for them and for the people that they serve. And I just encourage us all to continue to pray that God will bless us in the future with the priests that he wants us to have, the priests that we need for our families and for our parishes.
Amen. Could you impart a priestly blessing for us?
So, thank you, Heavenly Father, for the joy of this season. And as we anticipate the ordination of two new priests, we give thanks for them and for their response to the invitation to share in the priesthood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless them and all of us with the gifts of the Spirit we need to remain attentive to your holy will and generous in carrying it out. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you all and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Archbishop, and everyone stay tuned for parts 2 and 3. Hello, Northeast Nebraska, and welcome to part two of the Seminarian Ordination Podcast. I have Deacon Brett Jamrog and Deacon Ming Tron with me. It's a great opportunity to just to hear from the two seminarians who are obviously transitional deacons now.
Oh yeah.
Or just deacons for short.
Yep.
I appreciate you guys being with me. How are you doing, Deacon?
I'm good, fine, thank you.
Good. And how are you, Deacon Brett?
Doing great. Yeah, I'm excited to be on this podcast. I've never been on a podcast before.
Hey, so it's a first for everybody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I'll start with you. So how has the Holy Spirit strengthened you on this journey?
During my journey vocation, I believe that the Holy Spirit strengthened my faith when I meditate the words of God, mm-hmm. especially when I read the gospel, the Holy Spirit, the powers of the Holy Spirit strengthened my faith and my vocation. That make me think of about the God and my vocation. Mm-hmm. And he make me to be like Jesus, for example, in prayer, and also to do the ministry in the parish. Mm-hmm. For example, I open myself to the people that I serve. So I feel like Jesus do the activity when he was with us.
That's amazing. How about you, Deacon Jamrog?
Yeah. So for me, I would say the word would be boldness and courage. Mm-hmm. My vocational journey is a little different, I think, than some people, because I was kind of not really living the Catholic life. I mean, I was living it, but, I really had this big reversion in college. And so for me, the Holy Spirit just helping me to see the Lord's plan throughout, seminary, and to really give me that boldness to just trust in the journey, the ups and downs, mm-hmm. And just to continually walk with the Lord each day. So
that's amazing. Let's see here. How have you guys' families supported you along the way? I'll start with you. Or whoever wants to go first.
So for me, my family has been tremendous. And I told my parents that I was going into seminary. I remember that day pretty well. My dad was super excited. My mom was crying. She was so excited. And for me, so it's been, just that support along mm-hmm. the way. Right. Sometimes, just having those conversations, just relying on my family to kind of just give me that, that boost of support, morale. And then also financially, mm-hmm. helping me out. The diocese has been phenomenal in helping me out. But just, there's other additional expenses along the way, phone bill and that. And so
there's always expenses, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. How about you with family?
Yeah, I believe that my parents is a model of faith, love, and hope for me to develop, to think about the vocation. Mm-hmm. When I was a child, my parents always take me go to the mass, and we are frequently to pray at night. Mm-hmm. And also when I talk with my parents about desire to become the priest when I was high school, and they are very happy and they support for me. You know that in Vietnam, I have only myself to go to school. Mm-hmm. So my siblings have to stop, only me to study because I talk with them that I desire to become the priest, and they support mm-hmm. me. And my sibling also, when I go out of Vietnam, mm-hmm. they very encourage me to keep the faithful to God and faithful to my vocation. I very appreciate my family a lot.
That's amazing.
And I'll piggyback off that, spiritually, my family has been very supportive, going to seminary events, but just like my mom, texting me at times, my dad, I'm praying for you today, sending me, Bible quotes, things like that. So yeah, really helpful.
That's amazing. I think it's even more amazing because you're originally from Vietnam, correct?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like being a Catholic in Vietnam. I'm sure it's much different.
Yeah, in Vietnam, Catholics almost, we are in the towns of the Catholic, almost the people very, pious to the Lord and
right.
go to the Mass every day. Mm-hmm. And we have the Mass very early at 4 a.m.
I don't think I could be up that early.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to be a priest in Vietnam.
that's truly an amazing story though. I guess I'll go back to you on this one. describe what the seminary was like. I mean, and I think a common misconception, and I think you both can agree with this, is like people think that they're just sending their life away. You know, that they're, it's like once you're in, you can't get out. But it's like, you know, it's very much a discernment. But, you know, just describe the seminary community.
Yeah, I was actually fortunate to go to two different seminaries. So I went to St. Gregory the Great Seminary first because I started for the Lincoln Diocese. Mm-hmm. Then I switched dioceses after 2 years and went to Kenrick. But I, you know, I remember the beginning, my first catechism class, you know, the professor was just very clear, like, this is an invitation. You mm-hmm. don't have to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, freedom was just very much there from the beginning. And so, yeah, I'm very blessed that, like, I've never, you know, really felt that pressure. And I would say, yeah, the seminary community is just a great place of freedom, you know, of guys just helping each other to grow in freedom of just who are you and the freedom to not feeling like you have to be someone else.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the seminary like for you?
Yeah, I was in the Assumption Seminary in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
So over there, almost the life of the community that make me develop more about to be a freedom. For example, the human formation make mm-hmm. me to be mature, or the way I'm thinking about the celibacy life. Mm-hmm. And also the way I live with the brothers in the community, and also they teach me how to open with the lay people outside of the parish. Mm-hmm. Especially the life of the Assumption Seminary, it means that we had the bilingual. Almost many seminarians come from another countries. And I sometimes have the difficulties with the culture integration. So every time although we speak Spanish, English, but I feel better over there. They have speak English more than Spanish because that's why I'm lacking a lot of English.
It's pretty good right now, though.
And I believe that over the formation in Assumption Seminary is the way to form the international student. Mm-hmm. More than only American.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's why I very adapt the way they teach me, they form me, and they transform me to be the good servant of the Lord.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's awesome to have an international priest in, mm-hmm. you know, in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. Do you guys know what parishes you're going to? I don't know if that's a spoiler alert for me, but I think most people probably would like to know.
Yeah, I'm going to Norfolk. That'll be my first assignment up there. So really excited to go up to Norfolk. I never really spent too much time in the town, but I know they have the high school up there. There's mm-hmm. Hispanic ministry, hospital. So there'll be a lot of, you know, there's also Battle Creek and Stanton, Madison's, other areas that serve. So I'm sure I won't be bored. But I'm very much excited to just kind of get into the community and just, serve in whatever way they want me to.
Mm-hmm. How about you? Do you know what parish you're at? Because I don't.
Yes. When I talked with the bishop and he told me that I will go to Fremont, it was very surprised to me because I was the last year with summer 2 months. So I know Father Naughty.
Yeah, yeah.
I know the associate priest over there. Mm-hmm. And I make friendly with some people that I serve over there, especially the way I go to the home belt. Mm-hmm. That's made me very surprised because Fremont not so big, but many old people live in the nursing home. That's I feel
right
now. The Fremont is the place that I will live. I serve for me, surprise. But for me, this is the place.
Right, I exactly. Serve. Yeah. So he's going back to where you're from.
Yeah.
So you said, is that Sacred Heart Church in Norfolk?
Or yep. Okay. Yep. Is that Sacred Heart Parish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There's actually two churches in town. There's also the St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, that's yep. right. I think Sacred Heart's the more popular one, I think.
It's a bigger know. One.
Bigger
yeah.
one, that's right.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So it's interesting because both men and I will be, you know, in a similar environment where you have a high school, you know, really K-12 Hispanic ministry. So it'd be great to be able to kind of talk to each other like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
What would you even spend your time doing? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys look forward to on ordination day? And it's kind of different for everybody, but it's like, you know, you're probably anticipating a lot, you know, it's a big thing, obviously.
Go, yeah, go for it. What are you looking forward to on ordination day?
This is a long time I desire to become the priest, and the day for my ordination, this day for thanksgiving to the Lord, mm-hmm. that's make me to make my desire to become in the true. And also this is the day for my parents, my family happy because mm-hmm. my will come into the true. They are very happy about this. But for myself, I get a little nervous mm-hmm. because I know that's the way the priest will do, will serve the people. But step into the new life of the, for me, the new priest, I feel a little anxiety. Mm-hmm. What will I do and how will I live with the pastor and the people, what they are thinking about myself? I talk with this, with the bishop, he said, don't worry, everything will be right. Right. You will fight.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Deacon?
Yeah, Brett? Yeah. I mean, a lot of things to look forward to. I mean, yeah, just grateful to be able to, yeah, be, you know, Lord's priest and to receive that sacred power, you know, because as a priest, you know, that's real, to be able to have that power to hear confessions and just to be that Lord's instrument of mercy. You know, I mean, in my own life, I've experienced a lot of, you know, transformation through the confessional. So I'm excited to be that, you know, personal, you know, be Jesus in that moment for people. And then, you know, all the other blessings of being a priest, you know, I'm just excited for, be able to say mass, anointing of the sick, you know, so many opportunities that'll come through the priesthood. But yeah, just be able to be a priest. Yeah. Really excited. Yeah. It's exciting. It's hard to put words to it, really. You know, it doesn't do it justice. So,
right.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys would like to add? Anything else?
Yeah. For me, I very appreciate the Archdiocese of Omaha. Mm-hmm. That's allow me and accept me to be the seminarians. Now they ordained me to become the priest. And also I thank you, Bishop, and also Father Rosa, vocation mm-hmm. director. He very attentive to take care of all of us, especially for myself. I feel he very asked me to feel comfortable to live in here and continue to develop the Vietnamese culture. Don't be afraid with another culture, but to be the who I am. Mm-hmm. And also I thank you a lot of Knights of Columbus member the support for myself during the time when I study, and also the some priests, they know about myself. And also I thank you about this, especially with Kathy mm-hmm. and many people I meet in another parish, especially the roof, to pray for vocation.
Amen.
Thank you a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, I would just say, yeah, again, yeah, I'm very grateful to the Archdiocese of Omaha for taking me in, Archbishop, throughout this journey. He's been patient with me mm-hmm. and just been a good father. But yeah, I think the last thing is just encouraging the people of God to continually pray for priests, to pray for vocations. I know we do that in a lot of communities, but yeah, I do believe that we're gonna see more men say yes, but keep praying for those men. So yeah,
definitely. Well, to close, would you guys mind both saying an individual prayer over just in general? Would you
say a prayer? Absolutely, yeah, I'll say a prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We thank you, Father, we thank you, Son, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for the gifts of our lives. We thank you in a special way, Father, for just bestowing upon us all the graces of this great diocese, this Archdiocese of Omaha. We ask in a special way, Holy Spirit, to open all of our hearts to the workings of the Holy Spirit, to the promptings. Help us, Holy Spirit, to trust like Jesus, to have that attitude, that openness, to see the Father's plan. That way we can live it with more boldness in our hearts, especially in this culture that wants to work against us, but just to continually crucify our own hearts with yours, Jesus. And we ask Mother Mary for your intercession.
We also thank you for the Lord that make us to become the priest, especially to be the good servant of the Lord. We also remember pray for all benefactors who pray for vocation, who support for our diocese. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you guys so much. And everyone listening, stay tuned for part 3 with Father Lloyd Gennerk. Thank you so much. Welcome to part 3 of the Shepherd's Voice podcast for this seminarian episode. It's about 2 weeks away from the time that we're recording this right now. And for this part 3, I have with me Father Lloyd Gennerk, who's at St. John the Evangelist in Valley, Nebraska, and President Emeritus of Roncalli Catholic. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, yes.
So, yeah, retirement's coming up soon, isn't it?
let's see, 1 month, 10 days.
I like how you're counting down. That's the best part. Talking about retirement, what are the many blessings that you've had as a Catholic priest?
Wow.
Good question.
How much time do we have?
You can talk as long as you want. I'll just edit.
It's hard to put 44 years of blessings into just a few statements, but God has been very good. Got, I guess, kids I've had in class, parishioners I've had, the opportunity to celebrate sacraments, which is one of my favorite things to do. The privilege of saying Mass and celebrating Eucharist. Working with people in terms of leadership in the church. And it just, almost everybody who crosses our path has been a blessing.
Amen.
I can't think of anyone who hasn't. Or as my mom.
You know you have a good story to tell.
As my mom used to have a sign in her office that said that, yeah, I would like to help you out. Which way did you come in? But I've always had a good relationship with students. In fact, I was just visiting with you on the way up about one of my former students. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah. So you said how many years again as a priest?
44 years. It'll be 44 years, June 3rd.
Wow. 44 years. Future seminarians, 44 years. Put that into your mind. what's the most fond memory that you have? I'm sure there's plenty, but if you could say one right now, what would it be?
Probably hearing kids' confessions.
Oh dear.
And we're not going to go into detail on that.
Right.
That's delightful.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time when I was teaching at Roncalli in the early 80s. The first period after lunch was French 1, and I was teaching French. And so I'd take my books back to the classroom and put them on the teacher's desk. And there was one day I walked in and there were two kids in there turning the student desks around to face the back wall.
Right.
And they didn't see me or hear me come in, and so I just kind of plopped my books on the desk. And they turned around and you could see the look of horror on their face.
Oh, the horror.
And I looked at them and I said, you know, if you want to do something original, surprise me. I said, turning desks around to face the back wall, that's the kind of stuff I did in high school. So be original.
Yeah.
And then I walked back into the hall to chit-chat with the kids, and it's like, oh, those are the wrong two to have said that to.
It backfired.
But bell rang, walked into the classroom, all the desks were facing the front, and nothing ever more was said about it. So.
that's pretty funny. Oh, that's so funny. You said the 80s. Wow. Man, I was born in 1998, and I hear so many stories from my parents. Because they were born in the 60s. And
yeah.
They were 20 years old in the 80s. It's amazing what kind of stories you can think of that were back, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, 30 years ago.
Well, I've been hanging around Roncalli for over 40 years, right. Off and on. Mm-hmm. So.
when were you first president there?
Well, president was 89, but I taught there from 81 to 83.
Okay.
And there's a a little story behind that, and I'll share this. In the late 70s, early 80s, when I was teaching, I led student tours to Europe. And in 81, when I knew that I was leaving Fremont Bergen and coming to Roncalli as a teacher, I was in Rome. And I purposely looked up John the 23rd's tomb, because John the 23rd is Angelo Roncalli.
Oh, wow.
And so I just said a little prayer that I'm going to a school named in your honor. So help me be a good teacher and help the kids be good learners.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know that 40 years later.
It's amazing.
And obviously still emotional for me.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah.
40 years, though. Wow.
Yeah, John the 23rd has always been kind of one of my heroes. So,
wow. He was Pope John the 23rd, correct?
John the 23rd, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I think he died in 63.
Wow.
But he called the Second Vatican Council. He was to be, the cardinals elected him because he was supposed to be kind of a fill-in pope. He was older.
You know. Who did he take over again?
He succeeded Pius the 12th, I believe. And yeah, and so nobody expected anything major from him, and boy, did he turn the church on its ear. Gratefully so.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. That's, man, it's a number, but 44 years is still like, it's half your life, basically.
It's crazy. Well, it's over half my life. I'm not quite that old yet.
Generally speaking. But yeah, you said at the beginning of this recording, 1 month and 10 days.
1 month, 10 days.
What do you look forward to in 1 month and 10 days? Well, I should say 11 days, really, but...
No alarm clock.
No alarm clock. Sleep in, right?
yeah, not having to get up at a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the last several years in Valley, our daily mass is 8:30, so that's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Beats having a 6:30 daily mass.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, the Archbishop and I talked a few years ago. But we both said, you know, in retirement, no responsibility. You know, and he said, give me all the work you want. Just don't give me any responsibility. And I'm kind of the same way, you know. I'm going to keep my office at school.
Mm-hmm.
Still some things I can accomplish there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But no responsibility. So if something messes up, the Archbishop can call somebody else, not me.
Oh, yeah, that desk will always be there at Roncalli. Shout out to the Crimson Pride of Roncalli.
Thank you.
I didn't go to Roncalli. I went to prep, but nonetheless, yeah, shout out to the Crimson Pride of Roncalli. Yeah, no alarm clock. I've lived off of alarm clocks.
Well, yeah, me too. That's why it's something I'm looking forward to.
Any words of wisdom for the two seminarians that will be become priests of Jesus Christ in about 2 weeks, and future seminarians after that?
Yeah. Be real. Be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh with your people, pray with your people, cry with your people. Just be you. And one of the things that I've learned is that as I look out at parishioners, they're holier than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So learn from them, let them bless you.
That's great. Be you. And I think in such a broken world, it's hard for I mean, just humans in general, just to be themselves, because we want to, we try to be other people and we don't need to be. And I think it's, you know, it, that, you know, that's just, we as humans, we, you know, we struggle and we, you know, and we fail. But I think it's, I think hearing that encouragement from, you know, a priest that's almost retired, that's had that much experience. Yeah. Be you is, you know, just trust yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the simplest yet most reasonable advice that, you know, a young man can receive, or, you know, religious life, of course, too, but,
well, it's good advice for anybody, young person.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think with our new, you know, pastoral planning and, you know, knowing that, you know, obviously there's only two seminarians who will be ordained in a few weeks and, you know, might be a couple years until we get, you know, another one or two or three,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd, like, what's your thoughts on that? I'm not saying not the whole, like, initiative, but just, you know, for future guys that are going to be hopefully ordained in the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, putting together our leadership team in the parish for the Journeys of Faith, mm-hmm. Journey of Faith.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, this is a very important project for the Archdiocese.
Right.
It's the way we need to move. I said, when I was ordained 44 years ago, there were about 200 active archdiocesan priests, not counting those who were retired.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, there was a handful of retired. Today, there's 130, or, well, no, I guess 111.
Yeah.
And in 10 years, projected to be 81 because of people like me who are retiring. But, you know, we got to address this issue in some way.
Yeah.
And this is one way of doing it. Another way is encourage vocations.
Mm-hmm.
I've known some parents over the years who have discouraged vocations.
Mm-hmm.
But have an open heart. Let the Lord work.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a hard conversation for a lot of people when you're not given the proper encouragement. I mean, there's really no such thing as proper encouragement, but just bringing it up and, like, just try it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a discernment, you know?
Yeah.
You're not signing your life away.
No, and that's what seminary is all about, is discerning the vocation. Just because you go to the seminary doesn't mean, oh, you're going to go on and get ordained.
Yeah.
But it gives you an opportunity to discern a vocation, to listen to God's voice and hear what he's calling you to. And that's kind of how I ended up in education as well, is that in college I figured I need something to fall back on. And so I wanted to be a teacher, which evolved into education and administration and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been very blessed because I've had an opportunity to live both of my career choices. And God's been very good.
Yeah.
And when I got to the major seminary, to theology, my prayer was, okay, God, I think this is what you're calling me to, and I'm happy to do this. I love it. But in case I have misread you, you'll see to it I get kicked out. Well, obviously, I didn't get kicked out.
Right, right, yeah. Oh, that's so funny, though. I couldn't imagine.
And it wasn't necessarily that I looked for ways to get kicked out, nor did I avoid opportunities.
Oh, gosh. I can't imagine what it'd be like. I didn't try to avoid it either. Anything else you'd like to let the audience of the Shepherd's Voice know from Father Lloyd Gnirk?
Be grateful and listen to God's invite to be holy as he is holy.
Amen. Could you impart a priestly blessing on us for this entire episode?
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father.